Welcome to Supernatural Stocks on MoneyWeb with your host, The Finance Ghost. This is your weekly fix of equity analysis designed for stock pickers. Whether local or international, you can expect a mix of news and my ideas about what I'm seeing in the markets. Yes, your eyes do not deceive you. This podcast really does include a surprising investment lesson from none other than Snoop Dogg, but more on that later. You see, we need to set the scene first, and a decade ago, the property sector on the JSE was absolutely cooking. Institutional investors were literally falling over each other to support any accelerated book build that came to market. I was working in the corporate finance industry at the time, and I can tell you that Java Capital was the object of everyone's envy, as it felt like they could just rock up at work, make a few phone calls, and earn incredible fees from being the shovel in the gold rush in the property sector. Now, part of the reason for the hype in the sector was that these property funds were seen as an easy conduit for capital to be deployed offshore. The FIFA World Cup shine had come off South Africa, the Jabulani was long gone, and we were in the throes of the lost decade, with capital allocators panicking about their local exposure. The property sector offered what was seen as an obvious solution, as management teams could go off and acquire properties in quote-unquote safe destinations like the UK. It all looked pretty good, really, until 2016 came around, and so did Brexit, at which point the word safe was suddenly very debatable. Regions like Eastern Europe subsequently emerged as an investor favourite, offering Eurozone risk mitigation and growth rates that were a hybrid of developed and developing markets. Today, the Iberian Peninsula is seen in much the same light, with investments in Spain and Portugal becoming a strong focus area for local property funds. It's a fascinating and vibrant sector on the JSE that forms the backbone of many a pension fund. In my opinion, the sector also offers a great opportunity for my tax-free savings account, or TFSA, as distributions from REITs are taxed as income rather than dividends, which is of course a much higher rate for most investors, but in a TFSA, they aren't taxed at all. It effectively allows me to pretend that I'm a pension fund, with no tax leakage in the REIT itself and none in my TFSA. This is one of the many reasons why I prefer listed property exposure to getting involved in buy-to-let investments. Now let's take a temperature check on the sector, particularly given the recent capital raising activity, and then I can explain to you why Snoop Dogg matters here. After all, that is a man who knows a good high when he sees one. One thing that is clearly visible in the sector is a mood of simplification and consolidation. For example, Equitas Property Fund is selling off its UK exposure and coming home, with a plan to rather allocate its capital towards development of logistics properties in South Africa. Things really have changed versus a decade ago. Over at Growthpoint, they are taking major steps to simplify their business. This includes some significant offshore disposals, but also many changes to their local portfolio, as they look to build a more focused portfolio rather than a macro portfolio that includes problematic exposures. Local is indeed lacquer, but not everywhere, as anyone who has been on a road trip through South Africa will know. This brings us neatly to a hyper-focused fund like Spear REIT, with a brand promise to only focus on the Western Cape. That may sound like a really obvious strategy in the current environment, but it's important to remember that investment returns are always a function of two things: what you bought and what you paid for it. With most local property funds trying to increase their relative exposure to the Western Cape, Spear will need to be careful not to overpay in bidding wars for properties as part of their commitment to remain a regional champion. So far, so good. That management team has shown plenty of discipline. And there are other names that don't necessarily guarantee a specific regional focus, but end up with a concentrated portfolio anyway because of their strategic decisions, like Attac in the Waterfall area in Midrand. And of course, there are names in trouble in the local sector, like Accelerate Property Fund and the miracles that it needs to work to dig itself out of a hole. Fourways Mall will be critical to that journey, as will a successful implementation of the disposal of Portside in Cape Town. For added spice, they have difficult related party issues to work through as well. So there's clearly plenty of local activity in the sector, with pockets of particularly strong growth, like retail centres that focus on lower income consumers, which means you'll find them on busy commuter routes and close to township areas, participating in the shift from informal to formal retail. But does this local is lacquer theme mean that international activity from South African funds has dried up? The theme of focus applies globally as well at the moment. We've definitely moved on from a world in which every single fund on the JSE is trying to execute some kind of international strategy. Instead, winners have emerged who are able to specialize in particular regions and do well in the process. Just think of Vukile Property Fund and their efforts on the Iberian Peninsula. Lighthouse is also pushing hard in that region. And as mentioned, Iberia is very much the new Eastern Europe right now. But Eastern Europe itself is still an exciting region, with the likes of Nepi Rockcastle focusing there. And of course, who can forget the recent flurry of activity around mass real estate, with Hyprop trying to act as the white knight for local institutional investors in a battle for control over mass with Prime Capital. Prime Capital won that fight in the end, yet Hyprop is sitting on over 800 million rand that was raised on the market in an effort to make that deal work. This brings me to the point that we all need to keep an eye on: equity capital raising in the sector and why it matters. And here comes the Snoop Dogg reference. The Snoop Dogg trade is probably the right one here. Drop it like it's hot. Well, with a slight amendment, drop it when it's hot. And no, I'm not about to do a rendition of the intro to that banner of a song from 2004. Well, maybe I will, but you'll have to listen till the end of the podcast, so it's at least worthwhile for me to embarrass myself while I do a great job of aging myself here. Now, how do you know when it's getting too hot and you need to drop it? Thankfully, in the property sector, there are two things to look out for. The first is the discount to net asset value, or NAV. Generally, a discount of 20% is reasonable for management costs and liquidity. The discount can close more than that, but then you need to get a little bit nervous when funds start trading at their net asset value. And if they shift to a premium to NAV, then the alarm bells should really be ringing, as the market is then starting to put a value on the management team's ability to find new deals. Now, in rare cases, that might be justifiable. There might be reasons why it should be at a premium to NAV, because there are one or two funds that have such a great track record of active management of properties that they deserve to be at NAV or a slight premium. But even the best ones, like Sirius Real Estate, need to be treated with immense caution when the premium gets too spicy. And importantly, there is no world in which the broader sector should be trading at NAV. At the very least, a discount needs to be there for the cost of the listed structure. So, watch out for where funds are trading relative to NAV. Now we get to the second test of when things are getting too hot: capital raising activity. The bubble we saw a decade ago featured extensive capital raising for general acquisition purposes, not even specific deals that had been announced yet. When you start seeing blank check capital raises for management teams to go off and just find stuff to buy, then Snoop Dogg should be ringing in your ears. Like, for example, the market rushing to give that 800 million rand to Hyprop on the off chance that they would acquire Mass. That is bubble behavior. Another thing to keep in mind is that when capital raising is happening, the management narrative at the funds will shift from growth in distributable income per share to growth in distributable income overall. Why? Because when shares are being issued and there's a lag in capital deployment, it's a drag on earnings per share. Management teams will tend to play you a highlights reel as far as they possibly can, which means you need to learn which metrics actually matter so that you can see through the narrative and figure this out. And believe me, per share growth is what matters. Otherwise, it's just very easy to raise capital, do questionable deals, and increase the overall earnings in the fund while destroying shareholder value on a per share level. I'm still long in this sector, but I'm watching it closely. It feels like the first few notes of Drop It Like It's Hot are starting to play. You know, that little dv. And look, we're not quite at Snoop yet, and that was a terrible rendition, but it's the best I've got. But be careful out there, because when that music really starts to play, it's time to say goodbye to the sector and invest elsewhere. That's certainly what I'll be doing in my tax-free savings account when that day comes. And if you're too young to have any clue what song I'm talking about, then you need to be extra careful, because that tells me that you probably didn't live through the property bubble of 2014 to 2016. And those who bought at the top of that hype got really hurt. There's no such thing as an opportunity without risk, and these are merely my opinions on the stocks covered herein. Make sure that you do your own research, form your own views on the market when doing anything in your portfolio. Nothing in supernatural stocks should be taken as advice.